Good evening. Welcome to the Critical Hour. We're coming to you from the capital of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., here on Radio Sputnik. I'm your host, political scientist, author, and nationally syndicated columnist, Dr. Wilmer Leon. I'm joined here by my co-host, political analyst, Garland Nixon.
Thank you, Wilmer.
For the next 2 hours, we will explore and analyze the salient news stories that are impacting the global village in which we live. RT has a piece entitled Putin on Ukraine and the West. Key takeaways from the latest speech. The collective West clinging on its crumbling dominance has been the ultimate driver of the crisis, according to Russian President Putin. For insight into this, we turn to our first guest. He leads the Speaking Truth to Power section of Tell the World, a publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior in inner city Washington. He was an Army Infantry Intelligence Officer and then served as a CIA analyst for 27 years. He co-created Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity to expose how intelligence was being falsified to justify, quote unquote, the war on Iraq. Ray McGovern, as always, Ray, welcome back.
Thank you.
So President Putin gave an extensive speech on the Ukrainian crisis yesterday as he met with regional heads to discuss measures of socioeconomic support to counter the wave of anti-Russian sanctions. He provided his take on the ongoing conflict with Ukraine, its causes, and goals Russia pursues. Your thoughts, Ray McGovern. And I think it's important for the audience to understand, Ray, as you do this, that you ran the Russia desk for the CIA as part of your career. So you have insight into this that most even analysts don't have, Ray McGovern.
Well, insight, I hope. Experience, what would you believe, 6 decades. I've been watching this country, Soviet Union and Russia, for ever since I started to major in Russian in college. Yesterday's event at the White House, Biden was asked by one of the reporters, do you think Putin is a war criminal? And Biden initially said, no. Then he asked the reporter, well, ask me again. And then he says, well, yeah, okay. I think he's a war criminal. My God. Now, I don't often agree with Dmitry Peskov, who is the presidential spokesman for Putin. But when he calls this unacceptable, that's precisely what it is. You don't call the head of another state, especially one with whom you may have to negotiate the end of a war, you don't call him a war criminal, especially when you yourself have been associated, as Biden has, with the kinds of crimes in, well, Afghanistan, you name it, that he and his Obama were responsible for. So all I'm saying here is that this is a new level. This is an acerbic tone that I never would have thought Biden would let himself use. And of course, Putin has come back with both fists pumping. What worries me here is mostly Biden. He is not in charge. At least he's not acting as though he's in charge. For every time he says we don't want to get involved in a world war, and every time he makes a gesture, a sensible gesture, like 3 weeks ago, he postponed the test firing of an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, that was scheduled and was ready to be fired. He said, "No, you know, the Russians' early warning system is not all that great. It's not as good as ours. They may misinterpret this. Don't do the test." That made sense. Also, Biden has been saying, look, we're not going to put people on the ground. We're not going to let MiG-29s go from A, B to C, C being Ukraine. And we're going to try to work this thing out. Now, for every time he says that, somebody else says something quite different. Now, what happened here? Zelensky was invited by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others to come and present his case. Now, what he presented was at 180 degrees away from what President Biden has been saying. Here's Zelensky. Is it a lot to ask for to create a no-fly zone to help save the Ukrainian people? Is that too much? What about humanitarian? What about a no-fly zone? What about that? Is it too much to ask? This is an alternative, says Zelensky. You know, the kind of defense systems we could use, SS-300 and similar systems. You know how much it depends on the battle to use aircraft. Can we have defense systems, please? Now, both of those things have been ruled out, at least until now, by Biden, and sensibly so. The advantage that Russia enjoys in Ukraine is something that NATO simply cannot match, at least not at the moment. So to do this kind of thing would be to waste these weapons. And the only people who see advantage in that are the people
who sell the weapons,
who produce weapons and sell the weapons and would have to replace the weapons. You know, I remember when all those folks that Petraeus had trained in Iraq, they tucked tail and ran before ISIS. They left all the weapons, billions of dollars worth. And the arms manufacturers had a party and said, wow, we'll have to replace those too, I guess. And we'll need them to fight ISIS, which now has the weapons. So bottom line here, the military industrial complex is making great hay here. And those who would undermine Biden and bring us to the threshold of a nuclear war are really running the show. And I just hope that Biden and the more sensible advisors he has, if any, are able to put the kibosh on this.
There's an article in the Financial Times, Ukraine and Russia draw up neutrality plan to end war. And a couple of things. One of the things that's been talked about Ukraine said, well, we can be kind of like Sweden and Austria, which, of course, Russia would clearly reject, because Sweden and Austria, you know, they have their own militaries, they have interoperability, they're in the EU and et cetera. They do, you know, things with the EU. So they'd still have one foot in NATO's door. But what do you think about the discussion of a neutrality plan and the fact that, to me, when I read that, the first thing I think is Zelensky doesn't have agency. He has people in his country who are not going to listen to him, who he probably can't go near, or they would personally hang him. And then he has his puppeteers in Washington, D.C. So how can they really get a plan when if I'm right, he doesn't have the agency to do so? Anyway, your thoughts on all
plus,
that?
Plus, Garland, I think Yanukovych was quote-unquote neutral, leaning in the Russian end economically, but neutral, and the United States wasn't going to stomach, tolerate, or allow a neutral Ukraine.
Right. Right.
Well, there are glimmers of light here. That 15-point draft deal, I'd love to see the 15 points. We know what some of them are. These are the things that are being negotiated as we speak between Ukrainians and the Russians. There are possibilities to work something out. I mean, the Ukrainians themselves are saying, well, okay, we're not going to be able to join NATO. NATO wouldn't welcome us anyway. That's good. So let's put that in writing, okay? That shouldn't be too difficult. Now, recognizing Crimea as part of Russia, that's more difficult. Recognizing the two independent states, so-called proclaimed by Russia, Donetsk and Lugansk in Donbass, there in eastern Ukraine, that's also more difficult, but not insuperable. There's a way to give them more autonomy. So these things can be negotiated, but you know what the U.S. is doing now, or what some of the people in the U.S. are doing now, are making Zelensky into a hero, and sadly, giving the Ukrainian people the thought or the belief that they can win this. Now, I'm not a military expert, but I did work in military intelligence for 2 years, and I know the balance of forces there, and the Ukrainians cannot win this. So the question is, how much more carnage? How many thousands of more people need to die before the ceasefire, before there is a ceasefire? Now, let me give you an example. I know a little bit about this because I'm so old, all right? In 1956, there was a revolution in Hungary. It was a great thing for the West. We all rejoiced, and then the Russian tanks came in. And what do? We told the Hungarians, we support you, keep fighting, except we're not going to put any boots on the ground, and we're not going to actually do much except rhetoric. But you keep fighting. And so the Hungarians laid down before the Russian tanks went run over. Now, years later, when it looked like the Russians might do the same thing in Czechoslovakia, I was sent out to Germany to advise Radio Free Europe how to conduct itself if Russia invaded Czechoslovakia to end what was called the Prague Spring. There was real hope that the Czechs would become independent and free. We knew, or at least some of us knew, that the Russians would never allow it. So we just waited till August when the Russians came in. What was my job? My job was to tell the radios, look, you know, don't tell the Czechs to do what you told the Hungarians to do. They're not going to be able to stop the Russian tanks. Bide their time. Don't incite them. Don't fight to the last Czech, in this case, Hungarian in 56. Let them make a deal. And before you know it, you know, these things work themselves out. And indeed, 1968, 1990, the Czech Republic was proclaimed. There were no Russian tanks in Prague. So what I'm saying here is that I find it unconscionable that CNN and MSNBC and the people who wrote Zelensky's speech, and it was not the White House, people like Pelosi and Schumer, and no doubt the ambassador that we have in Ukraine, they don't share this view of stopping this thing. They would like their primary objective is to blacken Putin and make him out to be the devil. And the consequence of that, of course, would be more arms, more tension in Europe, and you know, just a wonderful experience for the arms control, for the arms lobby, not the control. So this thing is pretty complicated, but right now we need a ceasefire. Right now we have to appeal for negotiations. The Chinese have appealed for negotiations while supporting Russia's core interests here, not to be threatened by NATO. So there is the makings of a deal. It's just that the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's and the other people who feed on the military-industrial complex are going to keep at it, blithely risking the notion that we could end up in a nuclear war, God forbid, with Russia.
What about the reports that the Nazi elements within the Ukrainian military, such as the Azov Brigade, have threatened to assassinate Zelensky if he, in fact, capitulates in their mind and comes to a ceasefire? And to your point, the Pelosi's of the world, the Schumer's of the world, the Raytheon's of the world, and the other members of the Mickey Mat are also threatening Zelensky as well. So he finds himself really triangulated between Russia, the Nazis, and the United States.
Okay, well, I would just start with, it's just a real godsend that Zelensky is a comedian, because I don't know how you keep your sense of humor in the straits that he finds himself in. The Azov Battalion is key. It's no longer the Azov Battalion. It grew into the Azov Brigade, which involves several battalions, but now it is surrounded by Russian troops around and near Mariupol, and it looks like it's going to be pretty much decimated. So can Zelensky prevail if the Nazis are pushed away? I think there's a reasonable chance he could, but there's a less than even chance that the Nazis, the ones that the Russians justifiably accuse of being just like the Nazis under Hitler, mm-hmm. that did terrible things in Ukraine, they are powerful now. They're not likely to give up without a big fight. And the big fight is on. And whether the Russians can clean out that place or not, I don't know. But a lot will depend on whether the Azov folks take it on the chin and give Zelensky a little breathing space so that he cannot be intimidated by them to the degree of risking being assassinated.
Ray McGovern, as always, thank you so much for your time. Greatly, greatly appreciate that analysis, and we look forward to having you back.
Most welcome.
Folks, you're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Wilmer Leon, joined here by my co-host, Garland Nixon. There's more on the other side. Stay tuned.